bark, 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 woof, 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 meow, meow, meow.
Wendy, cats and dogs are gathering at the window. I'm nervous. Maybe it's because of the song you're singing. Maybe it's because noted pet expert Steve Dale has joined us. Hello, Steve.
Hello, hello, hello.
You wanted to send some congratulations Wendy's way, so go for it.
Well, yeah, I think it's very cool. So I find out the news the way everyone finds out news these days. Facebook. Yeah. And there is a picture of you looking very beautiful and proud, and you have reason to be. When a high school, my high school doesn't even know I'm alive.
Oh, so this we is can really call nice. Them. Let's
so
call them on the air.
No, I'm not looking. No. It's really, it's very nice. And I've been to that school.
Riverside Brookfield?
Yes.
Nobody
had me.
The zoo.
Do they have a radios? They hate the zoo.
Nobody beats the zoo. That was our slogan because it's right next to Brookfield.
Right. And they had, you can actually smell the zoo as you walk through the hallways there, which is very special.
Those are just the freshman PE boys.
And did they have a radio station or something?
They have a television station.
Yeah, they interviewed me.
Cool.
Yeah. So I've actually been to the Wendy Snyder School.
It's not the Wendy Snyder School, although I would like them to change the name.
That's next. They will eventually change the name.
But thank you very much. It was an honor.
That's really nice.
Bill, you missed yesterday. Yesterday was a pretty important day.
Well, it was World Gorilla Day. Is that what you're referring to, Wendy?
Yes.
It was World Gorilla Day.
How do you know that?
Because I know stuff.
He celebrates it every year.
Every year.
Except
and
this
how,
year.
How do you celebrate a setup lying like you'll never get again? How do you celebrate World Gorilla Day?
Our loved ones gather together, join hands, and sing the Megilla Gorilla theme song. We've got a gorilla for sale, Megilla Gorilla for sale. Buy them, try them, take them home, and fry them. Gorilla for sale.
Fry them?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
That's in the song.
You take him home and fry him?
That's what it says in the song.
That's not nice.
It's not nice.
Who played the part of OG? How much is that?
A young Meryl Streep. A very young Meryl Streep.
Very young.
How did you celebrate World Gorilla Day, Steve?
I love the fact that I could throw anything at you when you come up with something funny. I don't know how you do it. I celebrated by writing a blog post and thinking back to when I had the honor of actually meeting mountain gorillas in person in Rwanda, Africa, in their homes where they live.
Mm-hmm. Did they have nice digs?
They have amazing digs. And this is the 50th anniversary. Do you remember all those National Geographic specials with Diane Fossey?
Yeah, sure.
And she'd whisper at the camera and say, "And now behind me, you see a family of gorillas." And this is how it all began for her. And the gorillas that are descendants of the gorillas that were on TV with her are still there. They're habituated to people, so they don't care that you're there or not. And tourist groups go up there, and I had the opportunity to do that. And that was one of the greatest things I've done in my life.
So there's no fear involved for you or the gorillas when you're that close? There's no fear at all?
Well, there's no fear from the gorillas' perspective because they could kill us instantly if they wanted to.
See, that equals fear in my book.
But
when
I wasn't afraid.
Fearful.
People who would do this voluntarily, who travel halfway across the world, pay good money to do it, probably are not going to be terrified of doing it. I mean, they want to do it.
Of course.
You know, and it is a spiritual experience that's difficult to put into words. You're seeing yourself. So when you go to Africa and you see lions and zebra and various antelope species and all that, that's the way coolest thing.
Yeah.
But when you see gorillas, or for that matter, I've had the pleasure of seeing orangutans in the wild too, you're looking back at yourself. There's just something different about it.
Because they're shaped like us?
They are like us. So 99 or 98%, depending on the great ape species of our genetics, are the same.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's so
really
wild.
Yeah. Literally. So it truly is. And I'm not doing a very good job of putting it into words, but there you are. You're hiking in the Virunga Mountains. The path is cleared in some places, and some places it certainly is not. People walk ahead of you, the people who live there, with machetes, cutting down a path for you. You can walk for 15 minutes. You can walk for hours at a time before you find this family of gorillas. And they know where all the gorilla families are. You get there, you know you're there because you can kind of hear them in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Eat. munching on their bamboo food, and you can smell the gorillas too. But it's not a bad smell. It's not that zoo smell. There's just it's just something. It's like a musky smell almost. And you
they
know
wear
you're
Jovan
there.
Musk oil.
They do. Mm-hmm.
That's they're why. The... And you know you're there. You
must
put
be
the,
Jovan.
You put your food down that you have in your backpack, and you bring only your camera with you. When you go closer, and you just wait and go behind some bushes, and suddenly 20 gorillas or 30 gorillas are right there.
What do they tell you not to do?
They tell you to stay 7 yards away from the gorillas. And they even have a measuring stick before you go to show you how far that is. Here's the problem. They tell us nobody told the gorillas.
Oh.
So the gorillas sometimes get a lot closer than that. So at one point, for example, there was a gorilla right behind an adolescent male, right behind Robin, my wife.
Yeah.
And I said, just smile, look at me, I'll take a picture. Meanwhile, the gorilla, which was behind her in a tree, begins to climb down the tree onto her level.
Oh.
And she doesn't know this and reaches out for her purple headband and begins to pat her head a bit.
What does that mean?
I think it means what all adolescent males try to do. I don't know. And one of the guides, as I was taking the picture, so I got the pictures, and then the guide said something like, rrr, 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 or something in gorilla language, which means maybe back off, guy. And he ran up the tree again and shook it, as many frustrated guys that age do, gorilla or people, I believe. I know how it feels. I was once a teenage guy.
Half the audience thought you were going to say you were once a gorilla. You know that, Steve, right? You know that.
That wouldn't be so bad.
So there was never a moment, there was not even a single moment where you were a little bit fearful
the
of what
best,
was going on.
The best story. So there's a very famous pet book author and animal behaviorist, Patricia McConnell, who lives in Madison, Wisconsin. And she used to take groups, she and her husband, to Africa to see the gorillas. And there was this one group where the big male, as he grew up, wasn't as habituated to people. I don't remember why. And they said, okay, this is the group you're going to see. They split people up when you get there, and they decide which group of the gorillas that you're going to see. They only allow, I think, 10 or 12. I don't remember exactly how many people in a group. That's all. And you can only be there for an hour. So they hike up there. They get there. They're watching the gorillas, and this big male, and I mean big, we're talking, you know, 450 pounds, 500-pound gorilla, male silverback, and mountain gorillas are the biggest gorillas in the world by species, runs right up to him, beating his chest. And the rule is, if that happens, but it never does, but it did, but the rule is, if that happens, don't run. That's the only thing they tell you to answer your question.
That would
not
be hard
to
not to run if a
yes.
giant...
But yeah,
gorilla's up beating his chest as he's running up to you.
And he stood his ground, and he says he could feel the breath of the gorilla. He was inches away. The gorilla looked at him in the eye and walked off, and he held his ground. I don't know that I can do that.
I couldn't.
That's a one in a million type thing. It really doesn't happen. What is more likely to happen, we watch over. So there are two reasons why the mountain gorillas are actually doing well. No other great ape species. I didn't know I was going to talk about all this, but I love it. No other great ape species is sadly, they're disappearing. Orangutan, the chimpanzees, the bonobo, and the other species of gorilla, of which there are three other species or subspecies, they're all disappearing fast. The mountain gorilla are holding their ground, and that's for one reason. That's ecotourism. So Rwanda and Uganda, two of the three nations they are found in, have figured it out. A couple of years ago in Rwanda, $250 million came into the economy to see 250 gorillas.
Hmm.
So that's about $1 million per gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
So that Jeez. Money has gone to help build schools for kids. It's helped to build infrastructure. And it has helped to feed people who live out in the country, who are no longer starving, actually, because of ecotourism. So they figured it out very quickly. This is a good thing. And we ought to protect and celebrate and they have become a national symbol, the gorillas, which they previously were not. The bad news is we're also the gorillas' biggest threat as tourists, because if we sneeze, they can get sick.
Oh.
And because they live at a very high altitude and they don't have antibodies for any of our germs, which they can get because they are, as I said, related to us so closely. So they get everything we get. And theoretically, we can get anything they get if we're close enough.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen. But they get sick as a result of us. There are veterinarians up there that actually treat the gorillas.
That's amazing. Dogs can get sick, too. And we'll talk about the dogs that are being rescued from Texas as a result of the hurricane. And there will be dogs probably coming from Puerto Rico.
Ooh, well,
but we'll take a break
senorita.
First. He's Steve Dale. If you would like to read his blog about World Gorilla Day, where do they find you?
SteveDale.tv, or just beat your chest.
We'll take a quick break and then more. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And we are chatting with noted pet expert Steve Dale. And so some of the dogs have come already from Texas, and Puerto Rico is going to have a lot of problems. There's still people suffering, and I'm sure animals. So what do we need to know about this?
The question that I'm getting a lot is, well, can I help in Mexico? Actually, they've got it handled down there because I have friends down there, so I've been writing back and forth, and they're taking care of their own. The pet food companies locally have stepped up and helped, and it's not that there aren't issues down there, but they're dealing with it. The greater concern will be Puerto Rico, because you've got all these. First of all, they had, before any of this happened, too many homeless animals. And there was
to begin with.
Yeah, they did. Wow. I mean, before this happened. And lots of street dogs and many, many cats that just outdoors and needed help. And they were sending these animals to the U.S., but now the need will be many times greater. I'm certain of that. And for the animals coming in, and we're going to have one tomorrow morning on with Steve Cochran from the Anti-Cruelty Society at 9:05. A dog will be on who has heartworm disease. So this dog can't be. We typically do adoption segments, and the dog can be adopted out. This dog, you can say, you could hold up your paw and say, I want to adopt out the dog. But in the process now of being treated for heartworm, and the process has to finish. But what we are looking for is a foster home. The concern I have is you've got all these dogs coming up from places where there has been a lot of water. A lot of water. In addition to that, mosquitoes. So they're coming in with heartworm, and they're coming in with leptospirosis. Leptospirosis is a long word, hard to say. It's a bacterial infection that is found in water. People can get this too. And in third world countries, in fact, it is not uncommon for people to have leptospirosis. So where people bathe and do their business in the water, they can, or you have wildlife doing the same.
Right.
And you just accidentally put your hand to your mouth.
Is that what all the seagulls were doing in some of the time? You know, they won't
let salmonella.
You
That's salmonella.
Is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but.
What are the symptoms of this?
In dogs?
Yeah.
Leptospirosis. So here's the interest. That's a great question, because here's what's really interesting. On one end of the spectrum, some dogs virtually no symptoms, literally.
Yeah.
You know, you can't tell. And their system fights it. Mm-hmm. In other dogs, they die.
Jeez.
Their kidneys shut down and they die.
But if you have a dog that you fear may have it,
what
are you
looking
for?
It's just not doing well. So the dog is panting for no apparent reason, seems off its appetite, particularly a dog who typically loves to chow everything down.
Yeah.
And a dog that just seems off. In general, a good rule to see your veterinarian, but that's the beginning of it. And then it can go downhill from there. But as I say, other dogs just manage to fight it. The good news for dogs is there's a vaccine. And the vaccine is what I do for our dogs, because here in Chicago, without the influx, you say you do too, Wendy?
Yeah.
Without the influx of these animals from other areas even, we've got these things called rats. And rats are the number one in the city.
They're dirty rats.
Yeah, they contribute.
They killed my brother.
Wendy Cagney.
Even if your dog licks from a puddle or walks through a puddle and then licks his or her paws, potentially if a rat did urinate in that puddle,
yeah,
now you've got a potential problem, unless the dog is vaccinated.
We have a quick question, because you mentioned some of the animals that have been displaced and need homes from some of these world tragedies. Glenn, you had a question?
Yeah, Wendy, my marina had a fundraiser on our dock, and we wanted to find out to how we can dedicate the money directly to the people who are doing the actual rescues from, like, either Harvey or Irma, instead of just to the Humane Society directly.
That's a great question.
Yeah, but it confuses me a bit. So it's the Humane Societies that are doing the rescuing.
That's true.
So I'm not sure. There are individuals out there that are real heroes that are doing it, but essentially they are organizations that are doing it. Locally, there are organizations, and the national groups, Humane Society of the United States, Best Friends, and American Humane Association are out there as well.
So you think those would be the best ways to be able to dedicate the funds then?
You know, it's a tough call. I'm increasingly, to be honest with you, just between us, a fan of giving locally, you know. But these national groups are doing amazing work. So there may be a way, and I don't know, to say this money has to be earmarked for animal rescue.
Do a little Googling on that, Glenn, because I bet you can find out who is responsible for a lot of these national campaigns.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, that's how we flagged it and got everyone to donate. We got a nice, we got like $700 donated one evening. The one evening of singing karaoke with a bunch of friends.
Well, so here's an idea. You guys are in Chicago, I take it, right?
Racine, Wisconsin.
Okay. So on the other end of it, there might be a shelter, I'm not sure, in Milwaukee. I know there are shelters, plural, in Chicago, who have taken in all these animals, and now they need financial help. As I just mentioned, they're treating the dogs for heartworm, for example, in big numbers. So they can use the help as well. So it's not only the organizations rescuing, but it's also potentially the organizations that have rescued, and they need the financial assistance.
Well, then it's a lot easier to make the donations if it's closer to.
Right, and you probably have a better handle on exactly where it's going. And as I say, there are many. I can't rattle them all off because I'll miss some, you know, for Chicago. But anti-cruelty is one we're having a dog on tomorrow morning.
Okay. And Glenn, Joanne has called in to help you out. Joanne, you know where to donate, what Glenn is looking for?
Yes. The local organization that has picked up the slack is the Division of Austin Alive, and they've named it Houston Alive. And those are the people who are picking up everything.
Yes. So if you still want to help out in Texas, I can verify. I'm well aware of them. Yes.
Houston Alive. Joanne, thank you for helping. Glenn, great work.
Thank you very much, guys. Good show.
Thank you. And you'll probably be easier to get them at Austin Alive.
Okay, and really quickly, 30 seconds, you have an upcoming Chicago Canine Rescue event.
Yeah, they're one of those organizations taking in dogs from elsewhere, an amazing organization that often takes those no one else will. Their big benefit is coming up October 7th. That is a walk through the neighborhood through Wrigleyville. Begins at Southport and Newport Avenue, and dogs will be dressed as superheroes.
Oh, Bill, so, this is
right up his alley.
I'm in it.
Yeah, yeah. It starts at 1 o'clock. And again, the event is the bigger event, 11 a.m. till 3 p.m. And you can check out their website. It is Chicago Canine Rescue for further information.
Excellent. Steve, if only there was a way people could find you on the web.
There is.
What?
It's amazing you ask.
How?
SteveDale.tv.
Excellent. Thank you, Steve. That's noted pet expert Steve Dale. We'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.